Call order the council meeting for May 14th.
We have a public hearing.
We've got a public hearing on ordinance 5-2018, an additional appropriation from Edit, Military Museum in the amount of $25,000. If anybody would like to speak for or against, come up to the podium, please.
If you remember, this is, we had given the Military Museum $50,000 last year or the year before for this grant. Once they received it, we were going to give them $25,000 here for 2 years. This is the second $25,000.
Okay. With that, nobody coming up speaking for or against, we'll go ahead and adjourn the public hearing.
Now we'll call order council meeting for May 14th. Everyone was in.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and the future as well. Amen.
Can we have a roll call?
Here.
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 Adoption of the agenda.
Motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall to adopt the agenda as presented.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Brian Quill?
Yes.
Dan Revellet?
Yes.
Shelley Rose?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the agenda is adopted. Need approval of the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall to approve the minutes as presented.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Brian Quill?
Yes.
Dan Revellet?
Yes.
Shelley Rose?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
And the April 23rd minutes are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
I have two. Dan Revellet, Shirley Rose, Dwayne Chapman, Sharon Meek, and myself attended that AIM budget seminar on 423 in Jasper, Indiana. And if anybody would like to look at the recap, I have that with me. And also, Mayor and Dan Revellet, myself attended the chamber after hours. It was a good crowd, good food, good information, and a good band.
I would agree.
Me too.
Mayor, tomorrow's a peace officer memorial day. Like to have staff mention that observance tomorrow.
All week is policeman's National Policeman's Week.
Okay. Anything else? Move on to committee chair reports.
Mr. Mayor, I provided new quotes for Wi-Fi in the park. This one from New Wave. With this gives us numerous options. We want to go with one provider to do this, go with kind of a go with one to put in the access points, and then go with another internet service provider. So we've got options to look at. What I'm asking from the council is just give their recommendation, what they would think after they look over these things, and you as well, so we can move forward with this. This one gives you three. They were pretty gung-ho. They gave one for Greg Park, the Riverwalk, and Four Lakes, Chicago Park, and Leicester Square. Come by.
Okay. Any other reports? If not, we will move on to old business. First up is ordinance 5-2018, additional appropriation ordinance from EDIT, Military Museum, in the amount of $25,000. Your first reading was April 23rd.
Motion for a second reading on ordinance 5-2018, and we had a public hearing for this meeting. No one spoke for or against.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall, we have second reading of ordinance 5/2018.
Ordinance 5/2018, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1 and 2 from edit to military museum, $25,000.
Discussion.
Question, Mike.
Charlie Rose?
Yes.
Kim Salters?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Rowe?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Abalay?
Yes.
And second reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
Motion for third reading for ordinance 5/2018.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall for third and final reading of ordinance 5/2018.
Ordinance 5/2018, additional appropriation ordinance, $25,000, containing sections 1 and 2 for Indiana military.
And discussion.
Call for question.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Kim Salters?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Rowe?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Abalay?
Yes.
And third and final reading of ordinance 5/2018 passes by a vote of 7-0. New business. First up is resolution 13/2018, a resolution approving the issuance of bonds of the Vincennes Redevelopment District, acting in the name of the city of Vincennes, in an amount not to exceed $5 million to finance acquisition and construction of certain improvements in the Hart Street Economic Development.
I'm Brad Dell, Vincennes Redevelopment, and we would like the City Council's blessing to bond the Main Street project on phase one. We have three investments here from Indianapolis, our financial consultant, and they pretty much make the path out for the paying of the bonds and our breakdown to that. So, with that being said, I'll give it over to Gary. You can ask me the financial parts of it.
Motion by the President, Councilman Chapman, and seconded by President Brown to read resolution 13/2018.
This is the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, resolution number 13/2018, a resolution approving funding up to $5 million by the RDC for the City of Vincennes. Containing sections 1, 2, 3, and 4, and sentence of bond, the City Council has to approve the financial body has to approve what the RDC is proposing.
Now we can.
Okay. Well, like Brad said, I'm Gary Smith of Reed Financial Group. I'm the registered municipal advisor for the Vincennes Redevelopment Commission. And the document you have in front of you, the first part of the document is just going to go over the basic structure, what the deal would look like, and then towards the latter part of the information, I'll go over the need and then kind of why we've recommended or why we've worked with the Redevelopment Commission on recommending this particular structure for the Main Street Phase 1. Page 1 of the document, this is a typical sources of uses that you'll see with the issuance of the bonds. You'll see the proceeds. Like it was mentioned, around $5 million was the ordinance amount. We think that it's going to come in, or the resolution amount, we think it's going to come in right around $4 million, a little bit more than that, $4.175 million, of which $400,000 has been pledged from a utility portion for the total sources of $4,575,000. Down in the uses section, this is all the different expenditure requirements that we have, the Main Street Phase 1 amount, that's the bid amount, cost of issuance, placement agent fee, Clark Dietz reimbursement. The Redevelopment Commission basically has paid Clark Dietz $515,065 to date. And, you know, kind of part of the resolution process, you know, to allow more flexibility in the Redevelopment Commission. You know, we've kind of recommended that we reimburse that to the Redevelopment Commission so they can pursue, you know, other projects in the short term. And, you know, really free up some more cash flow for some of these pressing projects they're wanting to do. The debt service reserve requirement there, that's approximately 6 months of what a debt service reserve requirement would be. It's a three-pronged test, and this would be 6 months of that. That may go away. The placement agent engaged on this transaction is working with two banks right now. It's going through credit approval. And, you know, that likely, you know, once it goes through credit approval, we may not need that, and that may come out of here, effectively lowering the amount of bonds. And then a miscellaneous item there at the bottom. So page two, this is the amortization schedule with the projected closing date, and these are what the maturities would look like. Essentially, you know, what the placement agent has indicated so far, around 325 is probably where we're going to end up on interest rate. So this is a very conservative estimate on what interest is actually going to look like. But again, this is how we build out what the yearly total will look like for the Redevelopment Commission. You'll notice out, you know, when you look at the principal amounts, it's kind of backloaded a little bit. And the purpose of that, like we said before, was to allow for optimal flexibility in the Redevelopment Commission. And, you know, with this structure, we're projecting to cash flow phase two of Main Street rather than bonding for phase two of Main Street. We think this structure is going to allow this project to get done with only one bond issue instead of multiple bond issues. You know, originally discussed, it could have been a, you know, bond anticipation note, and then maybe a subsequent issue later. You know, in my opinion, this type of structure allows us the flexibility to cash flow phase two and only do one bond issue, which I think is a win-win. I will note the payment source is TIF revenue only. At this time, we don't anticipate any other, you know, income tax or property tax or anything like that. Just what's already being, you know, distributed to the Redevelopment Commission twice a year. That's the payment source there. So then we start talking about, well, how can we pay this back? Page three is an estimated coverage analysis. And whenever you do a bond issue, one of the first things you have to look at when you're sizing it is, can you pay it back? Do you have adequate coverage? So essentially, that coverage number out to the far right there, you know, 2018, almost 8-9 times coverage, 5 times coverage, 2 times coverage as we go out, you know, pay 2023 through 2026. Essentially, anything over 125% you can market and sell. So again, just pointing out, has fantastic coverage. I mean, the Redevelopment Commission is bringing in, you know, over $1.6 million this year, and the proposed, this has a bond amortization, I should say bond amortization, the proposed bond amortization at, you know, at the maximum annual debt service is 887. So, you know, like we said, around 2 times coverage there. So then really getting into the details of the Redevelopment Commission, you know, page four is the revenues. Essentially, that's, you know, if you look at 2018, that calculates what the total captured income is, how much assessed value is the RDC capturing. And it's extremely difficult to quantify what projection, what it's going to do in the future, because assessments are, you know, they are what they are, and, you know, obviously there can be appeals, there can be all sorts of things that can impact that number. So we just kind of project a nice even number going out. Historically, it has grown, but again, to be conservative, we just extrapolated that 2018 projection out. And then finally, moving on to page five, this is the actual, you know, what I would call the financials of the Hart Street Economic Development Area. We can start at the top left corner. Beginning cash balance, $1.2 million change for 2018. Then as we go down to the revenue section, you'll see $2.1 million in total revenues, of which $1.6 million. So you'll see $1.6 million for the TIP revenue collections. And then you'll see the 515-065. That is the Clark Dietz reimbursement we're talking about earlier. You know, by putting that in the reimbursement resolution bond language, it'll allow that to come in as a revenue and then just get paid back later. So like I said before, $2.174 million in revenues there. And then as we go down the capital outlay list, these are projects that the Redevelopment Commission has talked about or, you know, physically pledged to. You see 2018 projected, then you'll see as of 4/19/2018, we do update this monthly. So cash is always being tracked. The Sixth and Main Street Muffler Shop, that item 135 is in there, and you can see what they've paid today so far. Four Lakes Park, the Grain Elevator, again, I don't think that's been formally approved by the Redevelopment Commission, but it's in there. And this is to kind of, you know, prove the flexibility of the plan. We have all these things in here that have been discussed, and you know, we're still surplus in cash. We still have a good cash balance at the end of the year. Main Street Phase 2, $250,000, that's kind of the engineering piece of that. And Pantheon, $332,500. Again, Redevelopment Commission hasn't committed to that yet, but it is built in this plan to show you what cash would look like. And I think of that whole project, it was $950,000, and this represents the 35% portion. And then the other $617,500, as of right now, is kind of being projected out of the rainy day fund. Perhaps an additional appropriation in the future on the city side. That just kind of goes to show how the Redevelopment Commission and the City Council kind of works together on things like that. The Roy's Canoco Station, you know, that item's built in there. Treeborn, and then down there at the bottom, you'll see 2018 Main Street Bond. So, you know, this feeds right in from the amortization schedule, and, you know, you kind of see what it does with cash over time. We go all the way down to the bottom, the year-ending fund balance, $919,000 in this fund. As we go out, cash is obviously growing until we cash flow phase two. So if you jump to 2021 and you go down to the capital projects, you'll see Main Street phase two at phase three and phase two there, the 160 to 540 to 2 million. That's all cash flowing phases two and three if there were to be phase three. So again, I think this structure is optimal for the RDC. It allows flexibility in the events of, you know, the Canoco Station, the Pantheon projects, cash flowing Main Street phase two, cash flowing Main Street phase three, you know, and it obviously still allows a tremendous amount of flexibility as we move forward in the future. You know, all the way through the expiration of the TIF, which we project to be that 2026 year, you know, they're going to have, you know, significant room for additional projects, additional cash capital projects. So that's the financial piece. I'd be happy to address any questions with you at this time.
And the reason this originally was looked at a bond anticipation note?
Yes.
That it was determined.
Yep. So originally we looked at a bond anticipation note, and I think at that time we weren't quite certain about the 80-20 match on the IEDC for, or was it IEDC? Or, I think it was IEDC.
For?
The 80-20 match for phase two.
That's
NDOT. It's NDOT. We weren't sure exactly what that was going to be, what the total was going to be. So the bond anticipation note was kind of thought of, well, this will allow a lot of flexibility in the short term. A bond anticipation note, you know, you kind of draw down on what you need, you pay interest on it, then you issue a long-term bond in the future. Well, now we kind of know what phase two is going to look like. And I think with the structure, instead of having to do two issues, you can do just one, obviously saving, you know, money, taking it to market, saving money with cost of issuance and things of that nature. So that's kind of why we've recommended the one structure instead of the two. I think it makes a lot more sense.
And by doing it this way, we're not exhausting all our capital.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, what I like about this plan is, you know, we can kind of go back to that last page there, and, you know, like you said, you don't want to exhaust your capital. And, you know, the ban, I think the ban option, you have 5 years to pay them back. If the Redevelopment Commission did issue a ban, they paid the whole project with it, you only have 5 years to pay it back. That wouldn't leave a whole lot of room for other projects. So that really would, I think, kind of put them in a bind. So, you know, issuing the 8-year bonds over, issuing the bond over 8 years, and then kind of backloading, it allows you all that flexibility in the future, or in the short term, then allows you to grow in the future. So I think it's a pretty dialed in.
What's the difference in interest doing the ban compared to the
bond? I mean, bands are traditionally pretty low, but with something like this, I mean, 325 for an 8-year, it's going to be low on the bond side as well, just because it's only going to be 8 years. It's not a 15 or 20 or 25-year TIF bond like we normally see in some communities. This is only an 8-year bond. You know, banks, something like this, we don't typically see underwritten. You know, banks are very competitive in things like this. So I think the bond is going to be extremely comparable to what you get with a ban as well in this particular scenario. That's not always the case. Like I said, if it was going to be a 25 or 20-year bond, then there'd be a significant difference. But usually bans are issued with the intention on taking them out of the bond in the future, the bond anticipation note. But I think in this situation, it doesn't make a lot of sense to have to do it twice, essentially.
But either way we go, to pay for Main Street, we're going to have to do either a van or a bond, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what, if you look at the document here, you know, it's a $3.8 million project. Bids have already been received, accepted for that. At the end of this year, with everything they have going on, $919,000 in there. And even if we take out the Main Street bond, $200,000, $1.1 million, not much flexibility to do anything else with. So this option, you know, allows them to pay for the project now. You know, you have to have financing in place. And then also allows flexibility to do other things with as well. Well, I just mean like, you know, if you were to cash flow this, which you wouldn't be able to do anything else. I mean, you're only bringing in $1.6 million this year, and then $1.2 in beginning cash, and then you have a $3.4 million project. And the funds just aren't there to do the project. I mean, you wouldn't be able to pay the city engineer, the professional services, the Pantheon project, the Canoco station. You wouldn't have been able to cash flow phase two or phase three. You know, grain elevator would not be on there. Four Lakes Park would not be on there. Six of the Main Muffler Shop would not be on there. It would completely exhaust the redevelopment commission of all cash, and the RDC still wouldn't have enough money to pay that project this year. So that's kind of why the structure was born to begin with.
So if we didn't bond, we wouldn't be able to do the Main Street project. Is that what you're saying?
There's not, the funds aren't there.
Right. So the funds aren't there.
Yeah.
So I mean, is this just and maybe the RDC would be better to answer this. So this is just, hey, we've got a lot of projects that came up, and now we're just going to make sure those are taken care of. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Correct. And I, you know, anytime we look at projects from day one, the first thought is, can we cash flow this? What makes the most sense for that individual unit? You know, like I said, the van I thought made sense initially, but then upon analyzing all the things the Redevelopment Commission would like to do and analyzing phase two and phase three, you know, the van started to not make a lot of sense. So this longer term issue, 8 years, kind of backloading a little bit, and taking advantage of the healthy cash flows the RDC is bringing in to pay for the project. It allows you the flexibility in the short term to do all these things we're talking about. And still, I mean, now for 2026, we're projecting $5.9 million cash for other projects with this moving forward.
So originally the plan was to have numerous bonds for this, but you're saying if we did it this way, there would just be one bond for this.
Yeah, originally it was a bond anticipation note, and then if that wasn't paid back in 5 years, you would have to issue a bond for, which would be really hard to do with there only being 3 years left on the TIF. So, you know, as we looked at a ban, you'd really have to pay it all back in 5 years, essentially. And, you know, my concern was, well, with a ban, you don't have to pay it back because you're not stuck to a fixed maturity. You're not like, in the bond, there's fixed maturities, there's fixed, you know, you're going to make those payments. The ban, however, you can just make interest-only payments on it. So I didn't want, you know, there to be confusion on what was actually needed to be paid, and then for other projects to come in and, you know, maybe, you know, the Redevelopment Commission of the city would be interested in pursuing additional projects, and then we get up against the wall here in, you know, 5 years, and it's like, well, we have this big amount we have to pay back in 3 years. To me, that seemed like it wasn't very flexible or a good option. Like I said, usually bands are taken out with bonds, so you likely would have got a band short term and then issued one 3 years later and included phase two and phase three in it. I just don't think the Redevelopment Commission needs to do that. Because, I mean, you're looking at, like I said, another cost of issuance. You're looking at more, you know, debt service reserve requirement perhaps, and things of that nature. So I think I think what's laid out is the best situation for the Redevelopment Commission.
Because my understanding at the meeting we had on May 2nd, I was there, that they had the money, and there you might see it. They had the money to do phase one and the elevator, but if they did them, then they wouldn't have any money to do any other options.
They will have the money to do phase two and phase three.
Well, I'm talking about if we didn't do this.
If we don't do this, no other projects.
Yeah, correct.
But they had the money to do phase one and the elevator.
Didn't have money to do phase one and the elevator.
No.
And it should also be noted that this bond doesn't affect any of the taxes. This is the
correct.
This is the TIF district. It doesn't affect any
The only source of payment is the TIF only. What's already been brought in from the TIF, it doesn't affect any of the other funds in any way.
This is a costly project. It's being between $4 to $5 million. I think it makes a lot of sense to stretch it out over an 8-year period. I don't see any other alternatives without leaving the RDC on their cash. Virtually no project would be allowed. So to me, this is the one that definitely makes the most sense.
And the way he structured it, like you said, our payments is as much the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. So it can be flexible, and then we hit the harder back end. But it should bring, we're hoping we'll get some development out there shortly and bring some more monies into the RDC. So,
well, even in, like you said, Brad, even on 2023, the surplus of the Redevelopment Commission, even with the much larger payments, is still $720,000 out in those later years. So that's still a significant amount, and that doesn't account for any growth in revenue as well.
We're counting on some growth.
You did make a statement. Yeah, obviously you focus on the TIF, and you know, the TIF doesn't really affect us too much because you guys worry about that and you take care of that, and that's your money in that TIF area. But you said there would be a possibility that we might have to look in the rainy day funds or any other edit funds to be able to offset things.
No, I'm sorry, I might have been confusing.
I just want to make sure because because that was thrown in there. I made it.
I got off track with the Pantheon. I was just kind of right on the Pantheon.
Yeah, you
misunderstood.
All right. Yeah.
If you see the that was clarified. The 332.5 that's earmarked for Pantheon.
Right.
That represents 35% of a $950,000 amount that was earmarked for the city. And my point basically was, and I got off topic there a little bit, but basically $617,500 would be the additional unfunded amount if the RDC committed to funding 35%. And my point was, well, of $950,000, they would be responsible for, as this it says on here, $617,500. It would have to come out of rainy day fund, additional appropriation, essentially. That's separate of this project. That was just kind of talking
about
the plans.
That was quick. I want to make sure that was clarified before we need to ask questions or anything. So basically, in simplistic terms, in a nutshell, what you're trying to do is maximize what the RDC can do with the limited amount of time that they have available.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the best way to put this, correct?
Yep. There's 8 years left. There's a lot of projects the Redevelopment Commission would like to pursue. And the more you can kind of backload it over those 8 years, 8 years is still a short term for a bond. The more we can kind of backload it a little bit, the more we can do things now and have flexibility in the future as well.
And even though you said that, even though this resolution is up to 5 years, you said you wanted to keep it around 4. Your guess is
it's going to be around 4. It's not going to be 5.
All right.
So basically, with the approval process, once an amount's approved, that is the amount, you can't exceed it. So it's common, much like in budget practices,
right.
You'll kind of adopt it a little bit higher than what you know tax signal
to make sure.
So you get your math. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Back to the Pantheon. The other funding, like that he mentioned from Rainy Day, that'll be at the next meeting. The council will be here to talk to you about funding the Pantheon project. And the RDC, a big portion of what we have to do on our own. Next meeting, the council will be here to talk about the funding of the Pantheon project. So the money, while we're looking at taking to get the money to fund that and move forward with it.
Well, we've kind of discussed that skeleton outline,
right.
Nothing formal, so I mean, that's not anything that can catch us off guard.
Right.
So
next month, they'll be here to actually give you figures and where we need to take it from. Not next month, next meeting. Which will be this period. Any other discussions?
I was just going to present the resolution.
Okay.
I
sort of already been done.
Yes.
I'm Brenda DeBrees, and I'm an attorney with Bingham Green Bondal, and we're serving as bond counsel on this issue. I just wanted to clarify for you, the resolution number 13-2018 in front of you tonight is essentially a resolution that approves the issuance of the bonds from the Vincent's RDC. And back on May 3rd, they already approved a bond resolution that spelled out the parameters in very detailed fashion, the parameters of the bonds that will be issued. So the resolution in front of you is just an approval of that action of the RDC. So if you have any questions about the approval resolution or the bond resolution that the RDC adopted back on May 3rd, then let me know, and I'm happy to answer those for you.
And we all should receive that packet as well.
Yes. I have a question. If we approve this tonight, when there's a public hearing on the 17th.
Yeah, on Thursday. What is
the public hearing for?
That's an appropriation that the RDC will be doing. It's required by statute.
Right.
So they'll have a public hearing, and then they'll have a resolution regarding the appropriation. And then after that, we'll be able to move forward with the bond process and get those placed and closed the first 2 weeks of June.
Any other questions?
All right, so basically all we're talking about is, you know, the TIF takes care of itself, most of this money takes care of itself. The only thing that we really look at is what we're going to agree to next time, money that we'll pay to the Pantheon when we look at these things. Correct.
But that has nothing to do with
that. So
for them to keep their projects
right. Moving. They keep their projects there. We've already agreed to that. We've got the skeleton outline. We'll hear that next meeting.
Right. Any other questions?
Call for questions.
Dan Marvelak.
Yes.
Shirley Rose.
No.
Did you answer?
She said no.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
No.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Ryan Rowe?
Yes.
Glenn Chapman? No.
Yes.
Okay, by a vote of 5-2, resolution 13-2018 passes. Next is ordinance 6-2018, an ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance.
Motion for first reading for ordinance 6-2018.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Chapman. Now, first reading of ordinance 6-2018.
Ordinance 6-2018 is ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3. First reading as chief.
Discussion.
Katie Cotter, I'm here on behalf of the petitioners, Rick and Rebecca Andrews. Basically, this is a petition for change of zoning for property at 1 Executive Boulevard, which is formerly the Executive Inn property, now hosts Fast Break gas station. It is one parcel of property, but for whatever reason, it's two zoning designations. Half of it is zoned C2, which is commercial. Half of it is zoned I2, which is industrial. They just learned of it. When they had a tenant who went to get a business permit and was denied because of the zoning. So at this point, they want to clean that up and would like the entire parcel to be zoned C2, which is commercial.
Any questions? Discussion?
Matthew can see on here, actually, part of that canopy at Fast Break is in between the C2 and I2. I just don't think anyone knew about it.
This is just a good area plan.
Yeah, so this is just a first reading, and then if it's passed, it'll go to area plan for a public hearing, and then if they approve it, it'll come back here for second and third reading.
Question.
Glenn Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Marbalak?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Ken Salters?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Rose?
Yes.
And first reading of ordinance 6/2018, passes by vote of 7-0. Next is Gary Hackney, Gibson Merritt Hospital Foundation Health Education Center.
Good evening. My name is Gary Hackney. I'm the director of the Good Samaritan Foundation. I've been a member of the organization for 10 and a half years. I would venture to say that every person in this room has some connection to Good Samaritan. We've all been there for tests or services. We've been patients there, and I venture to say that probably a good number of us can say that we were born there. Good Samaritan is a very busy place. We have about 120 ER visits per day. We have over 1,000 visits per day for x-rays, blood tests, scans, services, and all sorts of different things. We have an annual payroll of $106 million for our 1,700 employees. Charity care that we provide to the community comes into a total of $4.5 million annually. Knox County option income tax paid by our employees $851,311. Our United Way donations total over $76,000. Goods and services purchased by Good Samaritan total over $12 million a year. And the common rumor that we do not pay property taxes is untrue. We do pay property taxes in Knox County in the amount of $58,589. About a month ago, I met with Mayor Yoakum to tell him the story of my job and my role as the director of the foundation. And if you remember, starting back in 2010, Good Samaritan began some building projects. Thankfully, we're near the end of most of those big projects, but towards the tail end of that project was a conference center that we desired to build. And the stipulation was always that the conference center would be built if the money was available. Well, when I became the director of the foundation a little over 2.5 years ago, it was proposed to me that our foundation, which is a not-for-profit organization that is an arm of Good Samaritan, take on the challenge of raising money to build the conference center, which we are now calling the Health Education Center. After I met with Mayor Yoakum, he invited me to see if I could get on the agenda here for the city council meeting, and that's what brings me here this evening. So I appreciate the opportunity to come before you and tell you about our building project, our campaign, which is called the Health Education Center. I've given you some handouts and some information about what the Health Education Center is going to be about, but I want to tell you a little bit more. And with me this evening is the chairman of our foundation board, Helen Sear, and also the co-cabinet chair of our project campaign, and she's going to speak to you for a few minutes after I finish. So our Health Education Center is going to be built on some area that previously was where the Memorial Building was located, near where the Memorial Building was located. The building will house 200 people. It's going to cost $2.5 million for us to build it, but it's going to be state-of-the-art. It's going to have three main purposes. The first purpose of the building of the Health Education Center is going to be for our education and training of our staff and our clinicians. I have a previous background, as most of you know, in education, 34 years in public education. And when I went to the hospital in 2007 as the manager of education and training, I was amazed at how much training goes on in healthcare. Actually, more training and education goes on in healthcare than I would say in education itself. And that's the way we want it to be. Because when we're the patient in the bed, we want to be assured that the person that's standing by our bedside has the best knowledge and the best information that they can to treat us. So the first purpose of the Health Education Center is going to be for training for staff and our clinicians. Most of you probably heard that starting next summer, about a year from now, a residency program is going to begin in Vincennes. We're going to start with residents coming in as psychiatry residents. There'll be about 10 to start the first round. And then the year after that, internal medicine residents will begin coming. And those residents, as they are working here in our community, living here, and actually earning a living as a resident,
They are going to be producing some income and generating some revenue and economic growth for our community. By the time the pipeline is completely filled with all of the residents that are going to be ramping up into the program, there'll be 30 residents here every year. While they're in training, serving as practice doctors, if you will, they'll be generating over $200,000 a year as they practice their medicine. We have found, and research shows, that about 75% of residents who train end up staying in the location where they receive their training. And so we would be happy to know that 75% of those residents would stick around. If they set up practice in Vincennes or in the local community, they will generate $1.5 million annually. And each of those residents, as they begin their practice, would generate 6 new jobs in our community. But that's only the second purpose of the Health Education Center. Training for our staff, the residency program, where they're going to need some space for didactic training. And we know that residents don't sit in classrooms all day, but there will be times that they'll need to have that training. State-of-the-art training, if you will. And the third purpose for the Health Education Center is going to be community. Our Health Education Center is going to be open and available to the community. It will see 200, or it can be divided into separate classrooms, 3 separate classrooms. And so we could have many conferences there. We could have breakout sessions. We could have retirement parties. We could have wedding receptions. We could have celebrations of all kinds as it's available to the community. Now, you may or may not realize that the hospital was established in 1908. So we are celebrating our 110th year this year. And as I think back to 1901 or 2, there was a group of people who were the visionaries, the innovators, and the dreamers in our community. And there was a lady by the name of Anna O'Flynn. Anna O'Flynn was the leader of the Columbian Reading Circle. She was a dreamer. She was an innovator. She was a thinker. She and her friends saw that there was a need in Vincennes for a hospital. And they got together. I don't know what kind of committees there were back in those days. I don't know what kind of economic growth projects there were. But these ladies got together and said, we need to build a hospital. And they made it happen in Good Samaritan Hospital open in 1908. And so the question that I have for the council and for the community is, where are the Anna O'Flynns of today? I contend that there are some Anna O'Flynns in this room, some dreamers, some innovators, and you've proven that through many of the projects that you've supported in the past. And so that's my story. Some of you have already heard my story more than once, and I'll contend that you'll probably hear it several more times before this is over. But I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this evening, and now Helen would like to say a few words before we close.
As Gary said, my name is Helen Surup. I'm here actually representing a couple of things. I am representing the Hospital Foundation as the current chair of the board, and also representing the Capital Campaign as a co-chair along with Susan Brock-Smith. I wanted to speak on behalf of the foundation and also speak to the community piece of this. Many of us were born at Good Samaritan Hospital and know the value of having a hospital like Good Samaritan in our community, which far outweighs a lot of our neighboring communities as far as what they can do here. As a employer and as an associate of a company who feels very passionate about giving back to the community, my employer, Old National Bank, has chose through our Old National Bank Foundation and our local bank to contribute $100,000 to the Health Education Center at Good Samaritan Hospital. And what I would like to ask of you tonight is that you would join us in investing in the community and hopefully match our contribution and take part in this very, very important initiative to bring those residents here to allow to have, I don't know how many of you have looked for community space to have a meeting, but if VU's full and some other places are full, there's just no place to go. So this is going to be a very, very needed project, and we'd just like to ask you for your consideration. And on behalf of Gary and myself and the foundation board, we appreciate you allowing us the time to speak tonight.
Are there any questions?
What, can you just go into a little more detail about the role of this facility with the residency hope? What piece of the puzzle is that?
I wish Susan Brocksmith were here because she has a daughter that's just completing her med school. And she says that as she's been looking at where she wants to be a resident, she's been looking for places that have ultra-modern, state-of-the-art places where she knows she's going to get a good education. This is not a huge piece, Dwayne, but it is a piece of the puzzle that's going to help those residents determine this is where I want to be.
And if they decide to make this commitment, that could be done over a 3 to 5 year period?
Can be, yes.
Correct.
And what was the time frame of that, 3 to 5 years?
Starting today.
Starting today. Good question.
No, we can work. We have some others that have asked for a 5 year span. We have one individual that wants an 8 year span, so I've learned that I don't turn down money. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next is George Gaines. Okay, now I'll tell you, her concern is that I believe that maybe our ordinances need to be written to make sure to clean up properties. She's a problem property in her neighborhood, so she goes before the Board of Works. Resolution 14-2018, a resolution authorizing transfer of funds, transfer from fire pension travel meeting expenses to fire pension fund for fixtures, and amount of $500.
Motion to read resolution 14-2018.
Second. Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westphal to read resolution 14-2018.
Resolution 14-2018, a resolution of the common council of the city of Vincennes authorizing transfer of funds, $500 by a pension fund.
Any discussion? No explanation.
Any questions? Yeah. Got a new laptop computer and a printer, and we didn't have the money and the furniture and fixtures. We had $500, so we're going to transfer $500 out of the travel meeting expenses into the furniture and fixtures to pay for it. So it's right around $1,000 for the $994 for the printer and computer.
And the only reason this is for the council, Sharon, is because there's a difference in 100 line items.
Yes. Yeah.
All for the questions.
Yeah.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Mike Rowe?
Yes.
Glenn Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Ravalek?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Jim Salters?
Yes.
Jim Westphal?
Yes.
And resolution 14-2018 passed by 4-7.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Next is claims.
Motion to approve the claims in the amount of $1,116,429.97.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westphal to pay the claims in the amount of $1,116,429.97. Discussion?
Question?
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Rowe?
Yes.
Dan Ravalek?
Yes.
Glenn Chapman?
Yes.
Jim Salters?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Jim Westphal?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the claims will be paid. Miscellaneous is Yoakum tax abatement.
Certain one here, we kind of think we got it straightened out, but I'm always on being your princess. I can't tell you why you're here. Oh,
I asked Ed to show up because the tax abatement is very similar to Cole's, but there was one word that was different that caused the problem. It has to do with tax benefit versus tax abatement. So Mr. Yocum's taxes have been corrected at the auditor's office, and what they want is something in the city council minutes to demonstrate that the intent that I'm representing, as Ed is representing, is really the intent council had on the past, the abatement for Yocum Enterprises.
Yeah, which was a few years ago, actually. I think that's why it's been a little problematic. What I want to just say very quickly, Kim's already looking at his watch, I'm going to say this real quick. When we did this proposed ordinance, you know, we went back and forth about the amount, 2 years and all that. We copied almost as verbatim as you could do it with the ordinance for Cole's, because our situation was so similar to Cole's. And it uses terms, it says Cole's is entitled to deductions for redevelopment or rehabilitation or reinstate that 6 years not to exceed $400,000 for an event. If you don't get it done, then as many years as it need. Ours was up to 7, the same language, deductions for redevelopment or rehabilitation. We didn't think it was a problem, but you know, 2.5 years later, people's memories change, the language, you know, deduction, what is it? So we wanted to get it clarified. Dave agreed with me. Thank you, Dave. He wants to agree with me. I appreciate that. But I think we just want to get it clarified. Yeah. That's what we're here.
Did everybody understand that?
Yes.
Yeah. What are we asking?
Just to clarify that the intent of that ordinance was to give Yocum Enterprises, Yocum Properties, the benefit amount as opposed to an abatement. In real terms, it's up to $100,000 per year. His taxes were around $50,000, which means he'll pay no taxes this year. So he gets the benefit of that. So he's not using the entire benefit. I forget, 7 years.
7 years, but the first two, not because we wanted, but because the construction took a lot longer than we thought. So this is really our first year that we have the abatement. So that's why.
So that was, if that's in the minutes, we can write copies of the minutes, if that's the list of the vote of the council, if that's the intent, the actual intent of that one.
So you just did a motion to agree with it.
That'd be great if you have a motion to agree with
it. A motion to agree with what you said?
Add word.
Second. Okay. A motion by Councilman Chapman, second by Vice President Westfall, to that the agreement was with an
issue. We're abating taxes, right. We're not abating assessment.
The difference between the actual tax deduction versus the
assessment,
the exemption. Actually, this is a dollar-for-dollar tax credit versus a tax deduction.
Call for question.
Question.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Ryan Grove.
Yes.
Dan Revlin.
Yes.
Green Chatton.
Yes.
Kim Salters?
Yes.
Cheryl Rose?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, we will walk through the It's interpretation. Anything else on the miscellaneous?
I have something. I'm happy to say that we are not taking any credit cards on salt, so we're doing that. Also, on the golf carts, we have started. This year, the green, whatever you call it, the sticker is on the license plate. It's supposed to be on the golf carts. That way, the police officers can tell if it's up to date or not. Mm. So, people who have already renewed their golf carts stickers, we have sent them a green one for them. Use that one, and we'll let the police know that one.
Anything else? If not, we just need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are adjourned.
Okay.